This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
It was just different. We used to have Sunday night services. Anybody remember that? Okay. You used to have them here before, years ago? Okay. I mean, that's how I grew up in church. Okay. That's how I got opportunity to preach when I was coming up the ranks. You know, Sunday morning was the senior pastor, but at Sunday night, he gave me opportunity. So I was so thankful for Sunday nights. Amen. I had opportunity to grow and be used of God, but nowadays, you barely find a church that has a Sunday night service. Okay? It's just changed. All right? And we have to understand, as things have changed, this never changes. Okay? Let me make some points here today. We do not compromise the Word of God. We will never compromise the Word of God. The Word doesn't change. The Bible tells us God never changes. Amen? But the way we do things have to change. Okay? Church, some of the things we do have to change to reach people. No amens. Praise God. We need to. Okay? We have to be flexible. And I know it's harder for us as we get older. We get accustomed to doing church and doing things a certain way. But you know what? If we continue to do that, you know, like 3,500 to 4,000 churches closed their doors, it could happen to anybody today. Amen? I don't believe it's going to happen here, but it could if we don't adapt, okay? If we don't get flexible, if we don't come out of the box a little bit. I hope I'm going to get your attention today. We need to be focused, okay? It's not enough to just have things happening here in the church. But we got to go outside the church too. Anybody with me today? We got to do some things to go get them. Amen? I don't want to get ahead of myself because I got a good message here I want to give to you today. But let me backtrack and just get back to the beginning here. So you can see I got really ministered to Sunday night. And I think the council did too. After that meeting, They were alarmed, okay? And they were saying to me, Pastor Rich, when can we get together to pray? Boy, that was good for me to hear that. That encouraged me, okay? Because Lord knows we need to pray, amen? We need to pray as much as we can. And I feel maybe Wednesday night we're going to do that until Lord changes my heart. Is Wednesday night we'll have a service, but we should have some time of prayer every Wednesday night. Thank you. I got a few amens. All right? Because we need some time in prayer because God moves when we pray. How many believe that today? God speaks when we pray. Amen. God directs us when we pray. God gives you vision when you pray. What's that? Even for the service. Yes. Amen. That's what we're talking about, okay? So today, my message, let me give you my title so I can get into it, is entitled here, Build the Kingdom. Okay? Build the Kingdom. That should be our focus, okay, as a church, that we want to see what? The Kingdom of God grow. Can I get an amen? And as we have that, you know what? This church will grow with it. Because our church is a part of the big kingdom of God. Anybody with me today? Amen? As our church grows, the kingdom grows. All right? But we got to do some things that we want to talk about here today. I've shared these things in the past. I'm going to share them again because it's on our hearts this week. Okay? I want you to turn with me. We're going to look at a few scriptures. I'm not going to give you a lot of scripture today, but the scriptures I'm going to give you are going to be really important. And there are scriptures I've brought out before that we're going to bring out again. Amen. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19 is our opening scripture here. Matthew 16, 18, and 19. We're going to talk about a lot about what Jesus said and did today. Okay? He's our model. Jesus is our model. What did Jesus do when he was on this earth? Amen? What did he do? Okay? We're going to read a little bit about that today. Let's look at these opening verses. In verses 18 and 19 of Matthew 16, it says, "And I say also unto thee," he was talking to the disciples and to Peter here, he says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." How many know today, he was not talking to Peter that he was the rock, but he was saying, me, Jesus, I'm the foundation, I'm the rock. Anybody here today? Some people have misinterpreted this verse. I don't need to mention names, okay? This morning. Upon this rock, Jesus was telling Peter, you know, I am the rock. Jesus is the cornerstone, amen? Upon him, it says here, I'll build my church, okay? The church, the kingdom will grow if we build it on Jesus, okay? Obviously, we've done some things in the last 20, 30 years, whatever, where some things are not working, okay? Let's get back to basics and then expound a little bit. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church, the kingdom isn't going anywhere. How many know that today? Yeah, there may be churches closing, but other ones are opening too. Let me say that much, all right? The church will never, never die. The kingdom will never, never die. It may struggle, but it ain't going nowhere. How many know what I'm talking about today? Amen? It's forever. Praise God. He says, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I don't, you know, I have a lot of keys, but I don't put them on me when I come up here. Keys, okay? He's telling Peter and the disciples, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. My wife got her keys out. Let me use them. Amen. She got a lot of keys too. Look at this. Oh, Lord. I don't have as many keys as I used to. When I was at our previous church on the southeast side, I mean, I had a wad of keys like this. Okay? I had every key to every building. All right? Keys. He says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Okay? Meaning, you know, keys, what they represent? They represent authority. Keys. You know, when you have a key, you can go and you have the authority to lock and unlock the pastor's office. Amen. Only a few people have that key here because that's only right. Amen. Keys are very important. They're signifying authority today. All right? So Jesus is telling them, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Amen. And he actually says a few of them. He says, you know, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's authority. How, did you get that today, church? Whatever you bind on earth, right? He says, I'm giving you authority, shall be bound in heaven also. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven also. Amen? That's authority. Okay? We have authority as a church. Amen? Let me even go further. You have authority as a believer. Anybody here today? In the name of Jesus, you can bind things of the enemy that are not good and cast them out, right? The blood of Jesus. And then you can also loose the blessings of God. Loose God's goodness on your life. Amen. Are you praying for God to loose His blessing at Oriole? Amen. We need to do that, right? Say, Lord, we continue to believe. Lord, send people here at Oriole. People who are hungry and thirsty for God. Amen. New people. I need to say this today. I don't want transfer people from other churches to come here. That's what's happening. Church, you know, people, they go to this church for so long, oh, they get mad at the pastor. because he said something that you know, ruffled their feathers a little bit. Oh, they got mad at one of the singers in the praise team. And so they run to the next church. And they stay there so long until somebody else gets them mad. That's not church growth. Amen? Church growth is when somebody new comes to the church who gives their lives to God, and then they begin to be discipled, and then they go out and bring in some more people. That's church growth. Amen? I want that here. How about you? Now, if somebody comes from another church, I'm not going to say, no, I kick you out of here. You can't come. I'm not going to do that. Don't get me wrong. But that's what I'm looking for, is people who need to be saved. Amen? We need to be discipling people. We need to be evangelizing, going to get them. Amen? It's different today than years ago. People just used to come, but it seems like now we got to go get them more. How many know what I'm talking about? We have to do something to get them to come in. Yeah, we need to pray that they would come in. There's nothing wrong with that. We do that all the time. But I think we need to do more outside these doors than inside these doors to get people to come. Anybody with me today? I hope I'm not alone, because if I'm alone, we're not going anywhere. Amen? Praise God. All right, let me move on. Matthew 28, turn there with me. This is God's business today. It's serious business. Amen? Some of you have been a part of this church for many years. You should know what I'm talking about today. I'm not playing games. It's serious business. Amen? I and my wife have been here now almost 3.5 years, and we're blessed to be here. A lot of people think we're nuts that we come all the way from the south side and come to the north side. You don't. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people where we live. They say this to me all the time. Pastor Rich, why don't you get a church close? And I say, because that's where God's put us. It's a simple answer. Amen? It don't always make sense what God does in the natural. How many are with me today? In the natural, right? Praise God. Look at what Jesus told his disciples here. You know these verses. I'm going to say them again today. I'm trying to stir us up today. Amen? In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." We're to what? Go and teach. I like the Amplified Bible. Teach says here, and make disciples. Go and make disciples. First, you got to do what? Go. It's a small word, two letters, G-O. Go. Amen. When somebody says go, that means you got to go somewhere. Amen. Not only come to church, go to church, but you know what? We got to go out and do things to get people to know who we're about and what we are, and hopefully invite them to come. Amen. Go, he says here, and teach. And also what he's saying is evangelize and disciple. Amen? We got to evangelize, reach people, and then what? Disciple them. Amen. Okay? That's what he's saying here. Then he goes on in verse 20, he says, again, teaching. He uses that word again. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Did you notice here? He says, and whatsoever I have commanded you, we got to teach these things. We are being commanded to do this. Did anybody catch that today? As a church, we are commanded to go, amen, and teach and preach and heal. Amen? I'm getting ahead of myself again. Praise God, I can't help it. This is the what? The great commission of the church. You know, we have to, that mentality, oh, all I got to do is come to church and pray that God would send new people. That ain't cutting it today. It hasn't cut it for years. Amen. Somebody's got to talk to somebody else. Amen. Are you inviting people here? Amen. It's got to be important. You're doing that. Okay. Are you making connections with people? You know. And don't worry about how far it is. Let me tell you something. If people find a church that is meeting their needs and they're happy, they're fulfilled, they'll drive 40, 50 miles. I know people drive more than that because it's a church on fire. It's a church that they're happy to be there. Amen. So let's get that out of our mind. Oh, I can't invite anybody. It's too far. That's not for you to decide today. Amen. Okay? So this is the commission we've been given. It hasn't changed. Okay? In over 2,000 years, it's the same commission. We got to do something. Praise God. Let me read you a quote from this book. I'm going to read a couple quotes. Here's a quote. It says, "The most effective comeback churches will be those that think like missionaries." That got my attention. I'm going to read that again to you. "The most effective comeback churches will be those that think like missionaries." That's how we got to think today, like a missionary. A missionary, when we think of a missionary, usually we say, oh, brother so-and-so has been sent to Libya to go reach the people in Libya. Amen? New souls, right? Go out and reach them. Well, we got to think like that, like a missionary. We're going to go out in the Chicago Northwest area and reach them, like a missionary does in a foreign land. Amen? Same, you know, mentality has to be there. Okay? I'll do whatever it takes to reach people. Paul said, and I don't have it in my notes, he said, by all means, we need to reach people. Like a Jew, you be a Jew. Amen? To the Greek, you be a Greek. Meaning, you got to make a connection with them. All right? Praise God. We must be a missional church. A missional church. A church with a mission. Amen? And everything we do has to be gauged around that mission and that vision that God has given us. Okay? Let's go to another verse here. John 20:21. Let's go there. This is Jesus again. John 20:21. This message really goes hand in hand with last week, if you think about it. If you were here last week, the message was the will of my Father. And the will of my Father is to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay? Being a doer. That's what we talked about last week. So this really goes hand in hand as we think about it. In John 20:21, it says this, "Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father had sent me, even so send I you." Did you catch that today? Amen? Jesus was saying, you know what? The Father sent me to come and go to you. Now in the same way, I'm sending you to go. Amen? Church got to be busy doing. Anybody with me today? You know, I know we may not be big yet, but those of us that we have, Wednesday we talked about this, if we can get everybody to get involved in some way, shape, or form, you know what? We could do more. And we won't have eight people do most of what happens here. Okay? Shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be 20% doing 80% of the work. That's what usually happens in churches. But the smaller you are, the harder that is on everybody. If we can, you know, release some things from those eight and give it to others and then begin to do some new things, boy, what a blessing that would be. Amen? You know, I want to begin a new believers class. Okay? A new class for those who have just come to church and they maybe don't understand the Bible like they should and they need to understand what is AG all about. Okay? But it's hard for Pastor Rich to do it all. You know, I really want to do that, and I want to do that real soon. It would probably be a Sunday morning before prayer that we would, all the new people coming to church to be a member, they would learn what is it to be a member. Today I just gave some membership forms to a few people who've been coming now for more than 3 months. I don't need to mention names. You know who you are. Praise God. But what is it to be a member here? What does it mean to be a member here? You know, what does it mean to be a Christian today? Have you been water baptized? Are you really born again? Amen. Are you filled with the Spirit? These are things we need to teach in what? A new members class. You know, I've been doing it from the pulpit. Because that's the only way I could see it happen in a few years past. But really, I want to get that into a class. So I need someone to step up and say, Pastor Rich, I'd like to teach that class. I got somebody in mind. I haven't talked to that person yet. But I would love to say, someone come to me and say, Pastor Rich, can I teach that class? Anybody here? You know, we talked about our get to know you luncheon. I'm just throwing examples to you. You know, we've had different people say, I'll take it this month. I'll head it up and make sure everybody brings something and it's not all salad. Amen. That's why we do that, okay? But I'm going to be honest, I want one person to say, Pastor Rich, I want to take that ministry over. That'll be my ministry. I'll make sure every month it's set up, the Get to Know You Luncheon. And you know what? Not only will I make sure everybody brings something different, but I'll call those new people and make sure they come. Hello? Anybody here today? That's ministry, right? That's doing a little extra. Maybe you have to make some phone calls. That's what we do all the time, but we need help. Amen? Okay. We're sent. I think I've made that really clear here. Let me go to another scripture here about mission. Okay, what's our mission? I'm gonna break this down a little bit, but what is the mission we get from the Word here? I shared this Wednesday, but we're going to look at it again. I want you to look at Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. This is really a key verse, okay? After that meeting, Sunday, this whole week, this is the verse that's been just hitting me in my face, okay? Needs to be the verse that really triggers us into our ministry and what we're going to do here at Oriole as time goes on. This is Jesus again speaking here. Amen? He says in Luke 19:10, he says, For the Son of Man is come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. That was the mission of Jesus. When he came to what? Seek people. Seek those people who were lost. He says in the scriptures, you know what? You don't need a doctor for those people who are not sick. Amen. Jesus came for those who were sick. Amen. Sick spiritually. Amen. And we have to take this on and say, Lord, that's going to be my focus. I want to go after, I'm going to seek those who are lost. First primary principle. Everything we do here at Oriole should be around this theme. Okay. That we want to what? Seek those that are lost. Okay? If we focus that way and put our efforts that way, some things are going to begin to change. Amen? Now look, we're going to do something different starting November 4th, I think it is. High Point is starting again. Alright? But it's going to happen every Wednesday night now. How many remember we used to do it every other week before? We're going to take a step of faith. Our people who have been involved in it, and I'm so blessed we got new volunteers who are going to be a part of it. On Wednesday night, while I'm up here, the children are going to have High Point downstairs. The adults are going to be up here. Children are going to be downstairs every Wednesday night. Amen? Why? Because we need ministry for the kids. We do. If we want to see children come, we got to have exciting children's ministry. No amens. Okay? So, that's something different, right? We're going to try it. And we got to make sure we don't burn anybody out. So we said it. We won't do it unless we have more people involved. We got more people involved right now. So I'm believing for a blessing. So you need to tell that to people. Say, you know what? We got a real exciting ministry for children. It's called High Point. It's for ages 4 to 12. Why don't you bring your kids out? And then you can stay for service. You're talking to the parents. Amen? You can learn the Word of God on Wednesday night while your kids are getting blessed downstairs with activities and Bible scripture and crafts and games. You know, it's fun what they do. All right? You've got to make it fun for kids. Amen? Okay. All right. I know I'm talking to adults. Let me move on. All right. Praise God. So, seek and save. Now, I'm going to just real quickly here. In our calendar, if you have yours, look at it. But on the top it says our mission and our vision. They go hand in hand here. And it goes hand in hand with the Word. Okay, our mission on the very left says is to perfect and equip the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. So our mission is first, as a pastor, to equip you, to perfect you, amen? To make you, what? A strong believer, a disciple, right? So that then the vision can happen, which is what? To reach the lost with the gospel. Anybody here today? All right? You are getting equipped here. You are getting perfected. Everything I bring you on a Sunday and on Wednesday is to disciple you. All right? I'm bringing it to you. Everybody's capable here. Don't say, oh, I need to sit another 5 years under the Word. We ain't got 5 years. We don't have time to wait. Amen? So that we can do what? Reach the lost with the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, and set the captives free. That's our ministry. Amen? That's our ministry. So first, we equip and train and perfect, and then we can do it. Okay? It's all scriptural what we're doing here. It's what God wants us to do. Amen? It's what I've been trying to do since day one. All right? Yes, it'd be nice to have a separate class, a discipleship class. Amen? And maybe we'll do that when we got people to help and say, Pastor Rich, I'll be willing to teach the discipleship class. Not Pastor Rich also. Praise God. Amen. Let me read you another quote from the book. It says this, God calls you to focus on both quality and quantity. Not just how many, but also how well. That's a good, powerful... Let me say that again. God wants you to focus on both quality and quantity. Not just how many, but also how well. Okay? That's what we want here. We don't want just people coming and not being trained and equipped. We want you to be quality here. Amen? We want you to be strong here. Amen? We want you to be bona fide. We want you to be able to be victorious in your Christian walk. Amen? So you can be that one to go and seek and save those that are lost. Amen? If you're not strong in here, how are you going to be strong out there? It's getting real quiet here. Praise God. That's our call, church, is to reach the lost. Amen? Praise God. So I want to give you a couple things here. I'm going to break from my message a little bit and give you a couple stats, okay? Give you a little idea what's happening with what's going on in churches today and also what's happening with the AG churches, okay? Some of this information might get your attention. You need to know some of this. I don't have a lot I'm going to give you, but just a couple things, okay? I want to read to you about comeback churches. It says, do we really need a comeback as far as churches? Let me read you some of this stuff here. It says, for years, various writers and researchers have reported that the North American church is anemic and lethargic at best, Many believe that Jesus' commentary about the Laodicean church fits the church in America today. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. They believe that's a description of the church today. As early as the mid-1960s, some mainline denominations were apparently in trouble. Peter Wagner stated, in the 10-year period from 1965 to 1975, the Episcopal Church lost 17% of its membership, or 575,000 people. Now this is years ago. The United Presbyterians lost 12%, or 375,000 members. The United Methodists lost 10%, or 1.1 million members, and so on. In more recent years, more and more evangelical churches have shown signs of plateau and decline. In his book, Vision America, Aubrey Malfers asserted that much of the perceived church growth in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s was actually due primarily to the redistribution of believers, not genuine church growth. That's what I was talking about before. People going from this church to this church, just moving churches. He stated, the problems of the church in the 1980s carried over into the 1990s. The church as a whole continues to experience decline and the unchurched increase. All right? So on the whole, church is going down and people who are unchurched is increasing. Here's some figures of the Assemblies of God. This is just about the Assemblies, because the Assemblies was one of the churches that they analyzed, the comeback church, okay? The Assemblies of God is often listed as a fast-growing denomination, but they too have many declining churches. For the reporting years of 2004 and 2005, 36% of the Assemblies of God churches that opened prior to 2001 experienced growth of 10% or more. So these are fairly new churches they're talking about here. From before 2001, 36% of those churches have shown some growth of at least 10% or more. And this is on a Sunday morning worship, okay? Compared to almost 41% of their churches experiencing a decline, which is of 10% or more. So 36% are increasing, but 41% are losing people. Just over 22% remain steady during that same period. So 22% are just kind of maintaining. They reach the high, and they're just pretty much trying to hold on, okay? That means about two-thirds of the Assemblies of God churches have plateaued or declined during that time period. So that's not good. That means two-thirds are either at their max and they ain't moving anymore, or they're coming down. Only a third, basically, is increasing, okay? Here's a few more stats. In 2002, George Barna's research indicated that 95 to 100 million Americans of all ages were unchurched. Think of that today. 95 to 100 million are unchurched. Approximately one-third of the population are not churched today. You talk about harvest. We got a harvest out there, okay? Don't say we don't have an harvest. An estimate that was based upon a very generous definition of the unchurched. In another study, the Barna Group explained, since 1991, the adult population in the United States has grown by 15%. So, you know, the United States has grown by 15% of people. During that same period, the number of adults who do not attend church has nearly doubled, rising from 39 million to 75 million, or 92% increase. Wow. So even though America is growing in numbers, A lot of those people who are coming into the U.S., most of them, a lot of them are not going to church. All right? We're going down instead of up. Okay? It's very alarming statistics. Overall, Barna's research has not indicated that churches in North America were healthy and growing. Okay? They're not. When using a different methodology, we see numbers that are of even greater concern. According to the special report, the American Church in Crisis, an outreach magazine, says less than 20% of Americans regularly attend church. Let me say that again. Less than 20% of Americans regularly attend church. That means one out of five or less are going to church today. Half of what the pollsters report. While Gallup polls and other statisticians have turned in the same percentage, about 40% of the population of average weekend church attendees for the past 70 years, a different sort of research paints quite a disparate picture of how many Americans attend a local church on any given Sunday. Okay? That's just to give you an idea. It's got to turn, okay? The way we're going, we're losing people instead of gaining people, okay? There's a reason for that it's that way. We need to have evangelism and discipleship together, okay? That's what it's going to take. They go hand in hand. Jesus, the last words of Jesus, okay, which we read them earlier, were what? He said, make sure that you make more and better disciples. That's the Great Commission. Those were the last words of Jesus. Okay? This is unquestionably the most important directive given to the church. It's our most important direction. Okay? Our mission is to make more and better followers of Jesus Christ simultaneously. At the same time. Okay? We need to get more and we need to make them disciples, okay? Those two things should be happening at the same time, evangelism and discipleship. A disciple who grows spiritually will have a growing desire to be a witness and reach out to those who are lost. Let me say that again. A disciple who grows spiritually, anybody growing here spiritually, all right, will have a growing desire to be a witness and reach out to those who are lost. If you're not growing, or you say you're growing, but you don't have that desire, then you're not really growing. Because this is God's work. Amen? If you don't have a compassion and you don't care, you know what? You're not growing spiritually. You're actually dying today, spiritually. If you don't have this desire, which was what Jesus called us to do, okay? My last scriptures we're going to read today is Matthew 9:35-38. So let's look at that quickly. I read this on Wednesday also. Matthew 9:35-38. This is Jesus' model here again. And we're going to get three things out of this that we need to make sure we're doing. Okay? Matthew 9:35-38. What does it say? It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. Look at what Jesus did. He was teaching. He was then preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That was the ministry of Jesus in a nutshell. Teaching, preaching, and healing. That's what the church needs to be doing today. Okay? He says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Did you catch that? Who's this? Jesus. He says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he had what? Compassion. He had passion for the lost. How about us today? You see people all the time. You see people that are headed to hell every day. Does it bother you? Say, Lord, I want to make a difference. What can I do to turn this person around? get them on the right track to heaven instead of on the road to hell. What can I do to influence this person? Jesus cared. He had compassion. That's what caused them to what? Serve. Amen? He says, then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. I read you the statistic. The harvest is big. Amen? Bigger than ever. Right? But the laborers are few. The servants are few. So he tells them, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Three things I want you to catch from this. These were the three things they told us Sunday. All right? Number one is that if you don't have this, you need to pray that God gives you compassion for the lost today. Amen? You got to have that. For you to operate and to do what God's called you to do as a church, we need it as a group, okay? We need to have compassion for the lost, amen? Meaning we care that people are going to hell. Does anybody care today, amen? That I want to make a difference. We want to make a difference. Oriel wants to make a difference, amen? So number one, Jesus did what he did because he had compassion or passion for the lost. You know, that must be number one, passion. Passion to be to do what God's called me to do. Amen. If you have that, you'll have number two, which is what? You got to be a servant today. Jesus did what he did because he had compassion. See, if you have compassion, you'll serve. Anybody listening to me today? See, you got to have compassion. You got to have desire to help people. You got to love people like God loves us. Amen. Because that will make you to serve. Amen. We need to have servant hearts today more than ever, number two. And number three, Jesus told them, we got to pray if we don't have enough servants. We don't have enough servants here, so we need to pray. Amen. We need to have strategic prayer. That's why I'm saying Wednesday night we're going to do more prayer, more. And we'll try to incorporate it on Sunday too as God directs, okay? But these are three things they told us Sunday. You need to refocus on the lost. You need to make sure you have a servant's heart and that you're praying. Amen. That's what these churches did. And from that, God did different things. God spoke to them and showed them what to do. But see, if we have a strategy and we have a mission and a vision, we're going to go for it. Praise God. And that means we're going to do things different today. Amen. I don't want to get stuck. I don't want to do the same thing over and over again, especially if it don't work. Amen? You notice since we've been here, we're trying to do different things, okay? But we can only do as much as we're able to because of the help we have, okay? I would love to see a food pantry here. I said this before. I think a food pantry could be a ministry to what? Reach the lost. Anybody here? But I need someone to say, Pastor Rich, I'll do it, or a group of people, amen? Two or three people say, that's what my ministry will be, and I'm going to give it all I got. Anybody listening today? See, there's things we can do, but it takes people, amen? Don't say we're too small. We can do more, church. We're not that small, okay? We all do something, amen? Praise God. Here's my last thing, and we're going to pray here today. This has to do with the harvest, okay? Just listen. Dealing with the harvest. If we can't see them, we won't love them. If we can't love them, we won't pray for them. If we can't pray for them, we won't win them. And last, if we can't win them, we won't send them. Think about it today. Let me say that again real quick. If we can't see them, we won't love them. See, you have to see them. You got to seek them, right? You got to seek the lost, amen? You got to see it. Because if you see them, then you can love them, right? If we can't love them, we won't pray for them. That's. If you don't love somebody, you're not going to pray for them. You're going to say, get out of my face. You know, who are you? Right? You got to care. That's what I'm talking about. You got to have compassion. You got to have love, okay? If we can't pray for them, we won't win them. If we don't pray for people, we're not going to win them over. And if we can't win them, how are we going to send them? They're not going to go out if we don't win them first. It's just basic today. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what Jesus did when he came on the earth 2,000 years ago and he shook the whole world with 12 disciples. We got more than 12. So it can be done, okay? If we focus in this community what we can do, and it's going to tell us, meaning come out of the box, okay? We're going to try to come up with new programs and do new things in the next few months and time to come. But it's going to take you saying, Pastor Rich, that's what I want to do. Sign me up. Amen. That's what I want to do. Sign me up. I'm going to give my heart to that. Amen. That's what it takes. A church working together, reaching out. If one reaches one, just think about that. You know, I don't know how many we have here today, 25, 30. If we all reached one, we would double to 60. Think about it. And if that person reached another, we go to 90. It don't take a rocket scientist multiplication. Amen? If one new family brings in another new family, we double. Right? It's not impossible. Okay? Nothing's impossible with God. But we got to do things sometimes different. Let's stand. Praise God. I think you get the drift. Okay? You get the drift today. We got to put our hearts into it. Whatever we're doing, if we're not doing anything, you need to be shook up today. I hope you were shook up that you want to do something for God. Don't say it's for Pastor. It's not for me. It's for God. And it's for the kingdom. You're part of the kingdom. You want the kingdom to grow. I want the kingdom. I want to build the kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Close your eyes. I want you just to look at yourself. And you know where you're at. This message is not to put down anybody. It's to encourage you today that we can do more. Okay? We can all do more. We can focus. And we can say, yes, Lord, I want to focus on the lost. Lord, today, help us, God, as we end this service, as we pray, Lord. Give us a vision for the lost, Lord. In Jesus' name. Give us a vision, God, today. For people without a vision will perish. Lord, today, give us that vision, that passion, that compassion for the lost, Lord. Give us a servant's heart, O God. Lord, we want to serve like you did, Lord. Lord, never let that die from our spirit, man. Yes, people will hurt us sometimes. People will say things that they shouldn't. They'll do things they shouldn't. But Lord, let that never quench our spirit to serve. Hallelujah. For that's what the kingdom is about, serving one another, Lord. And Lord, help us to get more serious in our prayer, God. We're praying today for more laborers, Lord. God, we pray for laborers that are here, servants that are here, to say, yes, I'll be involved. Some way, somehow, I'll do my part. Hallelujah. I want to be part of the team at Oriole Christian Assembly. Maybe it's with the children. Maybe it's with the kitchen ministry. Maybe it's ushering. Maybe it's teaching a class. But Lord, I want to do my part today in Jesus' name. Lord, bless this church, God. This is your house. Prosper your house, Lord, here at 3400 North Oriole. God, we give you our lives, Lord. Use us for the glory of God. Today we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. If you want prayer concerning this, if you feel you need to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't been doing my part, and you want personal prayer, I'm here to pray with you. And maybe you say, Pastor Rich, I don't know what I should do. Would you pray with me that God would show me? Amen. Come up here and I'll pray with you. Okay? God wants to move. The question is, are you ready? Praise God. In Jesus' name. God bless you today. Have a great Sunday. Greet somebody before you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.